God bless you. Welcome back. Hey, reconciled. We're going to talk about that. See that puzzle piece, putting things back together. We're going to unpack that a bit. Before we do that, I want to remind you that there's lots and lots of people that are in need in our community. Lots and lots of people that are in need in this world. And lots of people that you're blessing when you give. Please know that this is part of worship for us. Not money, but putting money where it belongs, right? Not something to be worshipped, but something to be given and a tool. And so please continue to give. Continue to give to your church. Continue to give to ministries. Continue to give to your neighbors. Jesus loves you like crazy. Hey, did you see that mountaintop experience? Well, you know what? Pastor John had a birthday this week. Give him a little shout out. It was on Thursday. And I don't know if he wants me to mention it, but he's 45. That means I'm always still going to be 5 years older than him. But he's 45. Pray for him. Just kidding, sort of. All right, so with this, I want to pray, and we're going to get into this idea of reconciled. Reconciliation, it is a big deal to God, and you're going to see it. So let's pray. Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you came for us. Thank you that you made Pastor John. Thank you that he has been born twice. So born again in you. Thank you for life. Thank you for love. Thank you for liberty that you've given us and freedom, and may we love you with it. God, would you open our minds and our hearts to this really important message? Over the next 3 weeks, may we draw nearer to you and be more like you, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So when you think reconcile, maybe you're somebody that works with numbers and you think about reconciling numbers and accounts and all that kind of stuff. Maybe not, but I have a few things that come to my mind on reconcile. And I'm going to talk more about Philemon and this little letter with a big message in just a little bit. But first, I want to look at reconciliation and reconciled. And so just going straight to, an online search of what is reconciled. Look at some of these things that reconcile means. It means to restore friendly relations between one another. I think we could actually do for a whole lot more of that in our world. Maybe even in our homes. All right, how about this? Cause to coexist in harmony. Together, different parts working together for harmony. How about to make one account consistent with another? You're welcome if some of you are in accounting. How about just one word? Settle. Reconciled means to settle. To make someone accept a disagreeable or unwelcome thing. That just seems manipulative, right? How do you make somebody do that? Well, there's actually a way to do that where they welcome it. Something that was unwelcome be welcomed. Something that's disagreeable, they can learn to agree with. And I'm not saying shove it down somebody's throat. So let's take a look at what this looks like. And we're going to do so in the book of Philemon. But even before we get to that, I wanted to really unpack for you today, and probably every chance that I get, the reconciliation, being restored in right relationship to God and with one another is a big deal to God. It's very important to God, and it always has been. If you have your Bibles, please get to it. We're going to go through a bunch of passages really, really quick right now. Psalm 133 is the first one that we're going to go through. So it'll be on your screen. Have your Bibles, though. It's good. You can have them right there in your house. Enjoy this. So Psalm 133. Behold, which means check it out. How good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters dwell in unity. It's like the precious oil on the head and running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collars of his robe. Now, check it out. This is not something weird. This is something that was part of worship, and it's good for brothers to dwell together in worship. Please don't take that as a shot of us not being together. We are together, and we will be together physically again, Lord willing. But this is an idea that being together is part of a worship experience. It's like the dew of Hermon, or Hermon, which falls on the mountain of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing. Commanded the blessing, the goodness, right? Life forevermore. This is a big deal to him. Let's go to Matthew 5:9. You might remember this. And on Tuesday night, we did this in the church in the parking lot. We talked about the Beatitudes. That Jesus actually really has something to say about having your blessed life now. What does he say in Matthew 5:9? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be sons and daughters of God. blessed. You're blessed if you are a peacemaker, making peace. This is important to God. Reconciliation is important. Being together is important. Settling, coexisting, being people that help one another together. That's important to Jesus. He's talked about it a bunch. Excuse me. He actually talked about it in John 17 in his high priestly prayer. He's on his way out of this earth, and he prays for all of us and a bunch of people that you may never ever know until heaven. But right here in John 17, 20 through 23, he says, I don't ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The world's going to believe that God sent his one and only Son by us being one with God and with each other. Reconciliation's a big deal. Listen to this. The glory that you have given me, I've given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you love me. Gosh, this is a big deal. I'm going to get some water. I'm getting so choked up because reconciliation's such a big deal. At this moment, I will be watching myself doing this and going, oh, Lord. All right. You might remember in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21, because we went through that not too long ago, right? Influencers. And in that, we find out about actually the ministry of reconciliation. I mean, so far, I didn't even get into the book of Genesis, which is all about God making us, having right relationship with us, that being broken, and him restoring it and continuing to want that for all of his people. You can see it all the way through. From Genesis to Revelation, reconciliation is a big deal to God. Well, here we are in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. The old way of living, the old person passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, friends, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. You weren't blessed just for you. You were blessed to be a blessing. First and foremost, you receive reconciliation, and then you actually have the ministry of reconciliation with others. That's in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we're ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God, doing the right things. Let's just keep going. Ephesians 4, 1 through 6, and we're going to have a series on Ephesians, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. But look at what Paul does after he has this really rad prayer in Ephesians 3, and that there would be people and families that are restored. He says this, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. What is that? In all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another, in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One. When you get it? All right, one last one. James 3, 16 through 18. You might see this and remember this. James is just a power-packed book. The half-brother of Jesus. Listen to what he has to say right here. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Ain't no phony love here. And the harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Oh my goodness, friends. This is so remarkable for us. God is a big deal because he's made everything. He's called you and me to be part of his ministry of reconciliation. And so there's this really great little tiny book in the Bible, and it was a letter. It's called Philemon. You guys, I mean, if you're not careful, you're going to miss Philemon. You go back to Hebrews, and right before Hebrews, you're going to find Philemon. Looks like Philemon. Philemon. All right. But here's what's up. This was a letter from Paul to his friend Philemon. And it was a very, very personal letter. But it wasn't meant to be private. It was a big deal. It's about reconciliation. Because Philemon had a slave, a household servant, a guy that was just owned by him. And we don't understand slavery back then like we understand it now. It wasn't always that way, but the reality is this man was not his own. Philemon had a guy named Onesimus that he had owned, and Onesimus did something against Philemon and then ran away. And Paul ended up meeting him, and we're going to have all this unpacked. But let me tell you, this is the letter in the Bible about reconciliation. And it's really, really hard. And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take time to tell you that there are three different roles for all of us when it comes to reconciliation. You're either going to be a mediator for people, you're going to be offended, or you're going to be the offender. And you're going to have all three of those roles at some point. And there's going to be need for reconciliation. And so we're going to unpack that over the course of the next 3 weeks. Today, we're going to look in this book of Philemon about this personal message that was a kingdom message. And the kingdom message for us, right, is about humility. Loving Jesus first, doing what you do for Jesus. Loving your neighbor as you love yourself, because you yourself have been loved. Friends, I am so excited about this. I'm so encouraged by it. And for the next 3 weeks, we're going to read this entire letter three times, once each week, and then we're going to unpack it. And so we got a little bit of time left. We're going to go for it. Here you go. Philemon. Did you find it? Did you miss it? Well, Josh is going to put it on the screen for you. Josh, thanks for all your hard work, bro. All right. Verse 1. Not Philemon 1, because there's no 2. It's just a letter. And I want you to let this just kind of go to you. You're a city set on a hill, and you cannot be hidden. You're a person of interest to God. He loves you, and he's crazy about you, and he loves others, and he wants you to be part of reconciliation. Remember all of what we just read? Well, it's to lead to this. Listen to this letter. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. Timothy's with him. To Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. That's what's happening for all of us right now. Church in your house or in your car, wherever you're watching this. They had church in their house, and those people were probably all relatives. Apphia was probably Philemon's wife. Archippus may or may not have been their son. Nobody knows for sure who he was on this, but he was part of the fellowship there. And so he writes this letter to Philemon, but it's for everybody in the church. And here we are today reading it, so it's for us too. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus, first things first, and for all the saints. That's how it flows, in that order. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Jesus. For I've derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because of the hearts of the saints that have been refreshed through you. Good job, Philemon. Accordingly, so he's connecting that to the love that he shows. Accordingly, though I'm bold enough in Christ to command you to do what's required, yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. I could tell you what to do, but I'm appealing to you. I, Paul, an old man and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. So Onesimus came to Jesus in Paul's imprisonment. Onesimus was probably also in prison or at least visited him. Formerly, he was useless to you. Now, we're going to talk a whole lot more about Onesimus and Philemon in the next couple of weeks. But Onesimus means useful. This is a play on words that Paul is doing in this letter. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he indeed is useful to you and to me. I'm sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent, in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but your own accord. Like you chose to do is good. You weren't made to. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it. To say nothing of you owing me your very own self. Well, he did mention it. Can we stop there just for a second? If you're not catching what's happening, and I don't know, maybe this melodious voice is just putting you to sleep. So he's writing to Philemon, and he's saying, look, Onesimus probably wronged you, did wrong you, but if he did anything wrong, I want you to welcome him back as a brother and put it on my account. Did you know that Jesus did nothing wrong, and everything that we did wrong and every human being that ever lived and ever would live that did wrong was put on Jesus' account? He's saying to him, Philemon, remember what was done for you. And treat people the way you've been treated by God. Yes, brother, verse 20, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I'm hoping that through your prayers, I'll be graciously given to you. So, like you've been praying for me, and I'm hoping to come back. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Wow, you guys, there's so much here. So much. Like I said, there's three different roles that we are going to be involved in when it comes to reconciliation, to restoring, to being one, to being harmonious. We're either going to be a mediator, like helping restore people, being that peacemaker that Jesus says is blessed, or we're going to be the person that was offended. And we're going to need some help reconciling because we're hurt. We've been offended. Or we're going to be the offender. And I want you to know that Jesus absolutely, 100%, was never the offender, ever. He's the mediator. And he's been offended. You know, every single sin any of us has ever done has been first and foremost against God. And then ourselves and others. But Jesus played two of these three roles and modeled this for us. But he's never been the offender, and all of us have. And so we need reconciliation. We need to know how to reconcile. But today, we're going to look really quick at some things that can really help us from this letter help people reconcile. So I have a question for you. How do we help others reconcile? This is also known as, how do you be a mediator? Well, there's four highlights that really stood out to me, and I spent a lot of time on this. I'm not going to be able to unpack all of these verses. I have them for you in parentheses. Go back and look at them. Please, it's a short read. It's really important. It's really valuable. But the first thing that stood out was remember and remind others whose and who they are. Paul does this. He starts out with his own self, like, I'm a prisoner for the Lord. But he's saying, I'm the Lord's. And he's reminding Philemon, you're the Lord's. When you are trying to help people reconcile to God and to one another, remind them whose they are. They were paid for at a massive price. Look at these verses again. Go look. Verses 1 through 2, 6, 15 through 16, and 25. At minimum, go and look at those. Unpack that and see how he does this. Number 2, this is the second highlight of being a mediator. And how do you be a mediator? How do you help others reconcile? Be grateful. Be encouraging. Friends, this one, I'm an encourager by God's design, but I find myself when people are not reconciled, when people are far from God, when people are far from me, I find this to be one of the most significant challenges. Being thankful, right? Just being grateful. I will read this, and you don't have to go and find it, or maybe you already have it there. But in Philemon 4 through 7, it says, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers. You know how very effective it is to want to help people when you're thankful for them? You don't have to be thankful for all bad stuff, although God teaches us a ton in that, right? But being thankful for them. So I thank God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. He's like, I'm telling you why I'm thankful. And he's also encouraging. Listen how he keeps going. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. I don't want you to miss a thing, Philemon. I want you to keep going strong. You came to Christ. You're in Christ. Keep going, man. That's encouraging. For I've derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. So be grateful and be encouraging. Grateful to God. Grateful for people. Grateful for the ministry of reconciliation that you've received and that you can help others do. That's the second highlight. Here's the third highlight of being a mediator out of the book of Philemon here. Emphasize your personal relationship. If you're invited to be a mediator, it's potential that you have no personal relationship with them, but very, very unlikely. I mean, if you're a mediator for a job, you might meet a ton of people that you've never understood, but this is in the context of relationship. This is a personal letter. Again, I remind you, it's personal to Philemon, to his wife, to the church there. It was about Onesimus and Philemon and this fracture that they had. And we're going to, like I said, in the next couple of weeks, we're going to unpack it. And we're going to look at Philemon himself a whole lot more next week. But this is very, very personal. It's a personal relationship. And so keep it personal and not offended personal. Like, look, I'm here for you. I'm reminding you of our relationship. Appeal to that. You've probably heard of this, like, relational capital. We're like, look, when you're helping people to reconcile, say, look, this is important. This is valuable. Do you remember we read back in John 17 where Jesus says, look how you're in right relationship and one with God and each other. That's going to show God to the world. This is personal. This is important. And in all these verses, I really, again, encourage you, go back, look at them, read through this, and check off how this, I don't know, you can't even see it, but I've got so many highlights in here and how they connect with one another. And the final one, and I'll repeat all of them for you in just a second, but the final one is keep a kingdom perspective. Not your kingdom. Not the offended person's kingdom, not the offender's kingdom, but the kingdom of God. I love this. I'm going to read for you 15 through 19. Because, again, there was this separation. There was this chasm. There was something that was done wrong to Philemon. It was done by Onesimus. And Paul is saying, look, I want you guys to reconcile. And so he says this in 15 through 19. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever. We just get so focused on what's happening right now, but there might be, and there is, a bigger picture. No longer would you have him back as a bondservant or a slave, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me. But how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord, I want you to reconcile. So, if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. We are one in Christ Jesus, the body of believers. When something good happens to one of us, it benefits us. When something bad happens to one of us, it hurts. If he's wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I'll repay it. I'll pay somebody else's tab. Because Jesus did for us. To say nothing of your owing me, even your own self. That's like a dad move or a mom move, right? I'm not even going to mention this, and then you actually mention it. Well, I want to tell you that these four highlights are difficult, and you're going to need Jesus for it. Let's go back to it really quick. Remember and remind others of whose and who they are, where their source is. It's Jesus. Friends, this is so important, so valuable, so critical. Number two, be grateful and encouraging. You want to help mediate. You want to help bring harmony and reconciliation. You got to be thankful and grateful to God and grateful for people and encourage them. Don't just yell at them. Number three, you're going to emphasize personal relationship. This is that whole idea of being reconciled. And finally, keep a kingdom perspective. God's kingdom. Be humble in all this. So I want to remind you, as we part here, that there's just discussion questions, and I really, really invite you to pause those and look at them together. But right before we part, I got a little hashtag for you. This letter is personal, not private. You are not allowed to just keep all of the ministry of reconciliation to yourself. Oh, it's personal. Yeah, it's personal. It's not private. Don't just keep it in a box. We have to do the hard work of reconciliation. It's important to God. It's valuable to God. Look, let me just unpack this. This letter was written to Philemon about his problems with Onesimus and that he had the law behind him to actually probably have Onesimus killed or at least imprisoned. But he's like, no, please, welcome him back as a brother. You get to do what you want, but I'm encouraging you to do this. Do you know that most of what people believe is that Onesimus delivered this letter personally to Philemon? And we know that they reconciled because we're reading it today. It was personal, not private. Whose kingdom? Whose reconciliation? What are you living for? Who are you living for? Is it Jesus? Is it what he's done for you? Let's pray. God, what do we do with this? What's the personal application for each of us? God, maybe we're just at one of these roles and that's what we're focusing on, but may this be one that people can take as a tool or use immediately to help people to reconcile. Thank you for Philemon. What a great story. I love you, Jesus. I know you love us more than we could love you. I pray for my friends. There's so many people in my life that are needing to be reconciled to you and to each other. God, help me to be the kind of man. Help us to be the kind of people that are about this ministry of reconciliation. Holy Spirit, come and fill us up with more and more of you, that we would do more and more of what you do. God, help us to know that this is important to your heart, valuable to you, and you want oneness with your people, and you want your people to be one as well. God, help us to understand in these fractured times what this would look like. Keep the enemy at bay. May we focus on you and not our problems, not our pain, not our agony. We don't ignore it, but we focus on you and you bring us through it. God, I trust you and I praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, keep reading this, you guys. It's so good. It's short, and it's really, really good. All right, God bless you. Jesus loves you. May he bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you. Peace.